Things are just not the same anymore. Too much has happened. Too much has happened. It's even hard to remember how things were like just 2 weeks ago. We knew. Coming back to Jerusalem would be different this time. He knew. But he insisted on going for the Passover. Then things happened so fast. We were merely reacting, not even processing what had happened. Not a single one of us could anticipate what had unfolded. In all honesty, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I remember the supper in the upper room. In the middle of the meal, Rabbi got up and he came before each one of us and washed our feet. Then he said something I still don't quite understand. He took the bread and he broke it apart and he said, "This is my body." Then he took the wine and told us to drink, for it is the blood of the covenant. As we headed to the garden, Rabbi said that we will scatter and forsake him. Yeah, maybe everyone else, but I will never leave him. At least, that's what I thought. I'm so stupid. Why did I have to say something like that? Now Rabbi is gone because I was not with him. They nailed him on the cross. Then strange things happened on Sunday morning. Mary came crashing in and yelling that the tomb is empty and she had seen the Lord. We did see him later that day. He came in even when the doors were locked. We thought he was dead, but he was here, standing right there. But things are just not the same anymore. It's just not the same as before. For 3 years, we've been with each other every minute of every day. And now, we don't always see him. He comes and he goes. And it's not the same when he's not here. There's nothing left. Rabbi is gone. The gang is scattered. Some stayed in Jerusalem. Others went home. That's why I came back to Galilee. The Zebedees, James and John, they came with me. And so did Thomas, Nathaniel, and a few others. Honestly, what else is there to do? Might as well just go back to what we did before. So that night, I told them, James and John, I told them I'm going fishing. And they came with me. We cast the net all night and we caught nothing. James made a joke saying that we all got rusty. When it was almost dawn, we heard a voice from the shore. "Children, do you have any fish?" "No," we shouted back. And strangely enough, that guy, he told us to cast the net on the right side of the boat. Come to think of it, I should have recognized it then. But John is always the clear-headed one. Just as we started tugging the nets in and realized there's fish in the net, John looked at me straight in the eye and said, "It is the Lord." I hurried, grabbed my coat, put it on, and jumped right into the water. Once I got on shore, there's already a charcoal fire burning with fish and bread. When the others came in with the boatload of fish, we ate. While we were eating, Jesus brought something up. Part of me Part of me wish he never did. Part of me wish he never did brought those stuff up. But part of me, I'm glad that he did. Jesus asked me, do you love me more than this? Of course I love you, Lord. You know that I love you. Compared to the fish and bread, compared to fishing, I would do anything to be how, like, I would do anything to be like how he was before. But things are just not the same anymore. Yes, I love you, Lord. But that's not going to change how things are right now. As I watch the fire crackle, my mind wandered back to that night, the night of Passover, the night when chaos came. I remember I was outside the courtyard at the high priest Caiaphas. I followed far behind as the crowd took Jesus away. I was trying to see where they were going to take Jesus. I was standing by the fire to keep warm while listening to what's going on inside. I heard Caiaphas and others asking a lot of questions, but Jesus didn't say anything. And suddenly, one of Caiaphas's servant girl, she recognized me, and she started accusing me of being with Jesus the Galilean. The last thing I want is to be caught. So I immediately I walked away and said, I didn't know what you're talking about. As I went to the entrance gate, another servant girl saw me and said the same thing. Of course I have to deny it, or else they would have taken me away as well. I tried to blend in. I tried to look unsuspicious. But someone said I have this Galilean accent and said for sure I am with one of them. I have to lie. Or else these people, they wouldn't let me go. What would it take for them to stop accusing me? I just wanted to stay close to know what they're doing with Jesus. I didn't want to cause any trouble, but they kept pushing. So I have to lie. I have to swear. So they wouldn't keep me off. But once I said it, the rooster crowed. I didn't want to do it. How else was I supposed to stay close by? If I hadn't, they would have dragged me away as well. I never meant what I said. Jesus knows. I would do anything to follow him. I would follow him to the ends of the world. Have you ever had that feeling where your heart aches so much that you have a sour taste in your mouth? As if your heart is being squeezed, twisted, like wringing water out from a towel. That's what it felt like when Jesus asked me the second time, do you love me? I would rather pry my heart out. I would rather pry my heart out so that you can see that I love you. But to have you question whether I love you or not hurts. You know I love you. The flames of the fire, the rooster crow, the coldness of the night will forever remind me how I have denied my Lord 3 times. What I would give to erase that night from my life. What I would give to erase that night from my life. Yet Jesus is here reminding me exactly what I have done. Even if you can forgive me, Lord, even when you can forgive me for what I have done, I cannot forgive myself. I cannot forgive myself for denying my Lord, who was nailed on a cross. I can't forgive myself for not protecting my rabbi and let evil men torture him. I cannot forgive myself for not being there with my friend. I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. I got scared. I thought I was brave, but I was not. I thought I was different from the rest, but I was not. I don't deserve his love. I betrayed him. Just like Judas, I betrayed him. I don't deserve to follow him. I'm not worthy. Many of us are reluctant when it comes to serving God. We hesitate and believe we're not qualified. We give ourselves legitimate excuses, thinking, I'm not gifted, I'm not qualified, I lack the talent, I don't have the skills, I don't know how, I don't have time. Other people are better than me. I'm just a small couch potato. I can't serve. Whatever the reason, the bottom line is, I'm not good enough to serve. We disqualify ourselves from participating in God's work. Whatever the reason may be, we have a false belief that we are not worthy of being part of God's work. Maybe not to the extreme as Simon Peter when he denied Christ 3 times. But then again, maybe we have done similar things. I remember when I was in high school, I was scared of letting people know I was a Christian. So I did those 3 seconds brushing their hair, coughing, prayer to say grace before I ate my lunch. Not wanting to let my friends know that I say grace. I also remember I felt like betraying Christ one time when I couldn't finish one of my homework and had to copy it off from someone else. As I grew older, I made many, many more choices, did many more things that would outright disqualify me from being called a good Christian. I've lied. I've cheated. I've hurt the people I love. I've behaved in a certain way to manipulate people to see me as a good boy. I've pretended to be holy, but have nasty, sinful thoughts. If Paul said he's the foremost of sinners, I too surely am one also. Before the holy, sinless God, who is worthy? Before the Almighty, before the Omnipotent, who is capable? Before the gracious, all-loving, merciful Father, who is deserving? But that is exactly the point. It is not about us. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:16, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience and example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Who is worthy of following Jesus? Who is worthy of the Lord who willingly nailed on the cross for my sin and yours? But that is exactly who he is and what he has done. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He's the good shepherd not because we are the good sheep. He is the good shepherd because that is who he is. He is the shepherd because he cares, he loves, and he tends to his sheep. He is the good shepherd because he would lay down his life for his sheep. He is the shepherd because he knows and sees the sheep as his own. He is the good shepherd because he would go all out searching for the lost sheep. We are the lost sheep. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us have turned in our own way. Yet, the good shepherd comes searching for us, not because we've done something good, not because we've earned his love, not because we've shown good behavior. The good shepherd comes searching for us while we were still lost and wicked. The good shepherd comes looking for us when we were rebellious and ignorant. The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When one is lost, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one that is lost. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appoint you that you should go and bear fruit." You did not choose me. I chose you. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Simon Peter must have had a special understanding on being chosen. He had always been the rash one, the explosive firecracker, saying things and doing things before carefully thinking it through, reacting before considering the consequences. Maybe it is exactly this boldness, this fearlessness that Jesus chose him. It was along this same seashore on the Lake of Galilee, just a little further down that way. That morning, Jesus was preaching the word of God, and a crowd of people was pressing in on him. Now Jesus, seeing there was two empty fishing boats on the shore, he got into one of them, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him to put it out a little from the shore so that he can be on the boat and talk to the crowd. When Jesus had finished talking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon and his friends had just finished cleaning the nets from a night of fishing. It was a hard night because they toiled and they sweat the entire night, but they didn't catch anything. Nobody fish during the daylight. All the fish swims down deep into the water. But then again, this Jesus that was just preaching, he's not like any other rabbi. So Simon said, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And when Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Come, follow me. Come, follow me." These words echo in Simon's ears. Come, follow me. It is the most gentle, most tender-hearted, most simple of all invitations. Yet, it is also the most uncertain, the most unsettled, the most dangerous of all invitations. For 3 years, he followed. He walked alongside him. Everywhere Jesus went, he went. He followed. Even walking on water, he followed. But now it seems like it was all for nothing. He is back on this same seashore, not sure what happened for the past 3 years had changed his life at all. Come, follow me. To where, Lord? To do what? Does it matter? Really? Does it matter? Does knowing where the destination is matters? Does knowing what to do along the way matters? Does knowing how others decide matters? My invitation is not a request on fulfilling a certain task. My invitation is not achieving certain momentous grandeur with your life. My invitation is for you because I chose you. My invitation is one of partnership, one of experience, that we get to walk this journey together. You follow me. Have you disqualified yourself from responding to God's calling? Have your negative self-talk extinguished the desire the Holy Spirit placed inside? Have your pessimism quenched the yearning of your heart? We serve not because we are qualified based on our ability. We serve not because we are worthy based on our giftedness or behavior. We serve because we are chosen. We serve because our good shepherd came looking for us while we were lost. We serve because we hear his voice and come running after him. What is the good shepherd saying to you lately? What thoughts has the good shepherd been putting in your heart? Are you willing to listen to his voice? Can you distinguish his voice from the noise in your life? Listen to the word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I would like to invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Try to listen. We're so not used to listening, so not used to silence. But I'm going to give you a moment of silence, a minute of silence. Try to scatter out the noise in your head and see if you can hear the voice of the shepherd. Hear him calling you. Jesus, thank you for seeking me out when I was lost. Thank you that you didn't despise me even when I was still a sinner. Thank you that you never gave up on me, regardless of how dirty and nasty I was. Thank you for loving me before I know how to count my fault and name my wrongs. Thank you, Jesus, for being the good shepherd. Thank you.